Hi, this is Chris Mancini. You're listening to Storyworthy from an undisclosed location near Griffith Park.
Welcome to the Storyworthy podcast. Here are your hosts, Christine Blackburn and Hannes Finney.
Welcome to Storyworthy. I am Christine Blackburn, and I'm here with
Hannes Finney. We're coming to you from Universal Studios. Not Universal Studios Hollywood, where I work. We're coming from the actual studio, Universal Studios. Why, you ask?
Why?
Because that was where American Gladiators was originally produced.
Oh, American Gladiators. Okay, now you're getting to it. Because our storyteller tonight, Chris Mancini, he brings forth the topic, his first job in Hollywood, which is apparently on American Gladiators.
Yes, and we don't know exactly how. We're all waiting with bated breath to find out exactly
what was American Gladiators? It was on like in the 80s and 90s, right?
It was a precursor to a lot of bad TV shows. It was about a lot of steroided up people, men and women, who were indistinguishable in tights, and they did not ridiculous so much as bizarre versions of Olympic things. They would like, okay, you know that show now, I think it's called Breakdown? No, what's the one where everybody gets, Wipeout.
Wipeout, right.
Okay, that's just played for laughs, like we're going over a giant cliff and then a big hand comes over and slaps you over. I think American Gladiators was like that, as I remember, except it was serious.
Yeah, in other words, these were really athletes, as it were, or bodybuilders.
Yes.
And they would do things like the shot put, stuff like that, or
I believe
javelin,
there were actual
perhaps.
Olympians who, finding that there was no work after the Olympics,
so,
would actually go on American Gladiators, so if I recall correctly.
Yeah, so our guest tonight, Chris Mancini, this was his first job. I mean, this
right.
is what I'm
and
gathering.
And looking at him right now, I'm guessing he probably was steroided up in the 80s.
Well, he was.
Because he's completely bald.
No.
He's got pimples on the back of his neck.
Oh,
no,
God.
No, not. Well, that's what happens. Hey, the Green Bay Packers got hosed by, you don't want to hear this story.
No, I don't. What are the pimples on the back of the neck? You're freaking me out.
That's what happens. They get tiny, their testicles shrink up, they get pimples everywhere, and they lose their hair.
That is so
foul.
Yet
their arms are so, right. And they're like, the girls will love me. I don't think you and your
no.
tiny, tiny penis will be doing a lot.
Yeah, that's not what turns girls on. I don't think so.
No, I don't, no.
Here we are tonight
yes.
on Storyworthy. We're here. Chris Mancini's here. You know, Hannes, this guy, he's a comedian. He's a filmmaker. He's now an author. He's got a couple of books. You know, just a couple, whatever.
Just a couple. That's a couple more than me.
And he's also got a really, really popular podcast, comedyfilmnerds.com. So we'll talk about that. But before we get to that, a couple of things. First off, Storyworthy, you know, Hannes, we are always number two now, right behind This American Life.
Right.
Under personal journals.
We're taking those fuckers down.
That's right.
That's what's happening.
Which is under society.
We're declaring war on those guys.
It gets cloudy, I'll say that. But under iTunes, if you go to Society and Culture and then you go to personal journals, boom. Number two. That's us, Storyworthy.
Right. And we can be number one if we can get a category narrow enough to be like two people in an apartment in Las Feliz with a big wheel behind them. If we're number two in that category, then we might as well just give up the whole ghost.
Hey, man, my point is this. I am proud of us. I am happy about our show.
Yes, so go on iTunes and leave us a good review. It helps, it helps, it helps.
You know, it really does, Hannes. And right now we only have like 149 reviews, and that's just not enough.
That's bullshit. We need 8 million reviews, half of them to be anti-Obama rants.
All I'm saying is that I know for a fact we have 4,000 to 6,000 listeners a week, so that's many more than 149 reviews. You know what I mean?
Right.
And let me just throw it out there now. 149 reviews, 49 are my family. You know
right.
what I mean?
Right. And they think that the show is called Story World, so that doesn't help
exactly.
us.
Exactly. And they only give me three stars, so it doesn't
right.
help.
Also, you know, I'll say this. This is a backwards compliment. Our listener is too smart to leave reviews. They're like, we have things to do.
Yeah.
I know you have lives, people, but just get in the mode of a guy who does nothing all day, but write reviews and just go spend 5 minutes.
And
for
just
God's
give
sake.
Us a good review. That would help.
And you know what else helps us?
Tell me.
You go to our website, storywithpodcast.com. You click on our Amazon ad. Go to Amazon. Shop for your Silver Wall pornography as usual.
You know, that's
we
the
get
thing, Hannes. Holidays are coming up. People are shopping. You do your Amazon shopping. But if you go through storywithpodcast.com, it does help us. Look, you know, hey, we're just saying it helps.
Right. All right. Enough self-promotion.
And I got
Let's
one
talk
more
about
thing.
Our jobs now. Oh, I'm sorry.
Actually, one more thing to promote. One more thing to promote, and that is that we now have an app. I think you know that, Hannes. It's absolutely fabulous. I wrote that.
I'm sorry. I'm leaving.
It's available.
You're going to hear a door
for
slam. It's
Android
not going to be
phone.
A.
You can purchase the Storyworthy app for only $1.99 at Amazon.com. bleh,
through our website and then leave us a review.
Blah,
it all
blah.
Comes together, people.
All right, Hannes, let's talk about our first jobs in Hollywood.
Yes.
Should I tell you first?
Yes, tell me yours first.
I think my story is going to be shorter than yours.
Okay.
My first job in Hollywood, August of 1997, when I arrived, I started working for Starline Tours. And Starline Tours are down on Hollywood Boulevard in front of the Man's Chinese Theater. Now, at that time, there was nothing called Hollywood and Highland.
Yes, like now, there's no giant mall.
Yeah, now there's something called Hollywood and Highland. It's a giant mall that was created in 2001, built in 2001, and houses the now Dolby Theater. Used to be the Kodak Theater. Those folks went bankrupt.
Right.
And now the Dolby Theater, they house the Academy Awards. So it's a big mall with this great theater. But that wasn't there then. At that time, that was a dirt parking lot. And here I was working for Starline Tours. The Man's Chinese Theater, as you may or may not know, that's where the handprints and the footprints are. Right?
Oh, I do know that. Okay, that is a place that I actually knew existed before I came to L.A.
Oh, so you knew it was like
everybody
ultra
around
famous.
The world has seen it in maybe The Godfather. I actually saw an anniversary re-release of The Godfather in the Man's Chinese Theater, not remembering that there was a piece of footage of the outside of Man's Chinese Theater.
Cool.
And it's like everybody cheered like, hey, that's where we are.
Yeah.
It was the weirdest cheer in the world.
By the way, that theater is very impressive because I believe it's like 800 or 900 seats. It's a very large theater.
No, it's more than that. It is gigantic.
Maybe 1,500. It's a large theater. Okay.
I was in there when I was shooting The Aviator with Leonardo DiCaprio.
Oh, you
and when I say me, I mean me and 150 other extras.
So
but
you were an extra in the theater portion.
I was. Excuse me. I was a featured extra. I was one of Louis B. Mayer's cronies. That was a very specific thing that I
could see you pull that off. I'll be honest with you.
I got to meet Kate Blanchett.
Kate Blanchett. She was in that film.
She is so gorgeous in person.
Yeah, she's a beautiful woman.
Yeah, you think she's gorgeous. You forget that these people, you see them on screen, you go, well, that's a good-looking person. To be that good-looking on screen, you see them in person, it's like, this is unfucking believable. I don't believe you exist.
So she like translates into like almost what? Like a goddess or something?
I mean, yeah, it's like you can't, it's like she's glowing.
Because, like, her, she's, like, effervescent skin, or, like, she's very, what?
Well, that was depending on how much ecstasy you had about the effervescence in the skin. But, yeah, she was just like, you're like, wow, you are the best-looking person I've ever seen. Oh, look, here comes Kate Beckinsale right behind you, because she was there that night, too. I'm like,
she's beautiful. So then you had to go be by yourself.
Well, I was an extra. Nobody's paying attention to me. I just did it right there in the lobby of the Pantages.
So my first, you weren't at the Pantages.
We shot at both places.
Oh, I see. But you were at the Man's Chinese Theater.
We were, I shot at the Pantages. Thank you. Ew. There's Mancini pointing out a double entendre. And that's what we like is we need quality ejaculate jokes. We do not have enough ejaculate jokes. This
not
is the
enough.
Interweb, people.
You know what? I don't have a penis, and I can't participate.
But what I want you to do is, on the keywords, besides Chris J. Mancini and comedy, ejaculate
right.
should be the third one, because that will get a lot of traffic
so
coming to us.
So it's the tic-tac-toe symbol and then ejaculate.
Yes, exactly.
Ladies and gentlemen, my first job in Hollywood was I worked for Starline Tours. Now,
really? Is that what we're talking about? I totally forgot.
I did not give the tours themselves because at that time, you had to be able to drive one of these big, huge pass vans, maybe 15 or 20 people. And you needed a Class B license, and I only had the Class C license, and I didn't want to get the Class B license because nobody needs to see me driving up into the Hollywood Hills with a microphone and then driving 20.
You know what's podcast gold discussion of licenses?
So my point is
make sure that's the fourth hashtag, so driving license numbers. Okay.
So when I worked for Starline Tours, I just gave the announcements. That's my point. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Hollywood. Come on out to Starline Tours. We'll take you down to Rodeo Drive, Holmby Hills, Beverly Hills, to all of the famous movie stars you've always wanted to see, like Frank Sinatra, Marilyn Monroe, and all the other dead movie stars that don't live.
Yes, you know, none of them were alive at
this
time.
Because
now
everyone who's anybody lives in Malibu. But
that's
not the point. Please come and we'll take you by Ava Gardner's house.
And you thought you would be in show business and you would be close to show business.
No, I didn't think I'd be close to show business, but I did think I could learn a little bit. And you know what, Hannes? I worked there for 6 months and I did learn a little bit.
About?
Fucking
Hollywood.
Show business, man.
Oh, okay.
Hollywood stars, man.
See,
what
I knew all that shit
because
I was obsessed with it back
fine.
Home.
So
but
That was my first job. Let's hear about
Well, I remember coming here and you come here and you go to the temp agencies and they say, you want to sign up with us because we've got deals with Universal and Warner Brothers and we'll put you in there. And you're like, yeah, I'm sure that I'll be. So I actually got a job at MCA Records, now defunct, I believe, which was Universal's label. It was like on the 40th, some stupid clerical job. I was on the 40th floor of the Black Tower down at Universal. And you go in there, and they've got like cappuccino machines and every beverage in the world for free. And there's just racks and racks
That's
of all their
good.
CDs.
That sounds
Kids,
good.
These CDs, you may not remember them. They were small physical discs that carried music on them. But they were like, you can have any CD we make. Take it home. And you're like, this is awesome. And you get yourself a hot tea, and you get yourself some CDs, and you start inputting data, and about an hour and a half in, you go, oh my God, I'm in a fucking office. What? It doesn't matter that it's show business. It's still an office with a desk and a computer and a window.
So you're saying, honestly, that cappuccino didn't help at all?
There was no help whatsoever.
That's crazy talk. So you're saying that you just got your comfort level changed. Because frankly, Hannes, like if I told you right now you get a free cappuccino every morning, you'd be very happy.
Maybe I would. But you know what? I think of offices as like prisons.
Me too.
I mean, literally, because you have to sit in a desk for a prescribed amount of time.
Know,
you can't move more than 4 feet away from it. That's like being in a cell that's 4 feet wide. So if you said to a prisoner and, you know, in Alcatraz or some prison that actually exists now, you know, listen, you'll have a cappuccino machine and any soda you want, and you can have any CD made by Universal. He would go, I would rather just not be in prison. You can keep all that. I just don't want to be in prison.
However, I think that they would say it's better than not having it. And if they're in prison forever, it would be a nice bonus.
Yeah,
hey,
never helped. I've had other office jobs where it's like there's a cracked coffee maker that someone may or may not have urinated in at some point. And it really, it's the same. No, exactly the same.
The point is, ladies and gentlemen, if you're thinking about coming out to Hollywood and you're
just fucking stay away, all right? Just get out.
Just realize that it's a town like any other town, and there's boring office jobs, and there's boring jobs at a tour booth. And you know what I mean? It's just the same as always. I mean, You know, you're going to work at Starbucks here or a Starbucks in Kansas City. It's the same Starbucks. It doesn't matter.
You
don't have to throw anything.
I'm sorry. I just hate Kansas City so much that I wanted to throw something. Yeah, if you're working at Starbucks in Kansas City, you're probably living a better life, so stay there. Don't work at Kansas City down on Melrose because you won't be able to afford to live here. Whereas Kansas City, you probably have a townhouse, you've got insurance. You know what? Fuck it. Let's all go to Kansas City and work at
Starbucks.
We'll
have barbecue every night. And I'm talking Kansas City, Missouri, of course.
Oh, of course. Kansas City, Kansas. Fucking socialists.
Ladies and gentlemen, wherever you are, stay tuned because Chris Mancini is on his way here.
Storyworthy tweets. So join us on Twitter and be our friend on Facebook.
And we're back. We've left the studio area. We've gone up to the Universal City Walk, where all of the food is greatly overpriced. And everywhere you turn, there's a Chinese tourist taking a picture of the giant King Kong sign. And you know what I'd like to do? I'd like to Twitter about that. And I can at HannesPH.com. That's my Twitter handle, people. Oddly enough, very easy to get HannesPH. It's not HannesPH.com. See, how old am I?
It's at HannesPH.
Right.
But you're a good Twitterer, Hannes, because you are who you are. You're irreverent. You're self-deprecating. And so if you go to at HannesPH, you're just going to hear a stream of consciousness every day.
Right. A lot of vitriol.
And then every 10th tweet, could you fucking throw in Storyworthy? Could you do that? Do you know what I mean?
How about every 11th tweet?
Fair enough. Whatever you if I tweet, man, you retweet. You know what I mean?
And every other tweet is going to be something about Wisconsin. Because I like to.
But if I talk about Storyworthy, then you retweet. This is the way we got to work this out. You know what I mean?
Tweet, retweeting. Right. The retweeting. I tell you,
ladies and gentlemen, it's a new world, isn't it? It's a whole new world.
I really hate it so much.
We've had a great guest here tonight, and that I look forward to. Yeah, I'm not kidding. Chris Mancini. He's a comedian and a filmmaker, and he's now an author. Now, Chris has written and directed many films and television shows, and he's also screened and spoken at various prestigious festivals, including, Hannes, listen up, Slam Dance, HBO's Comedy Festival, and Comic-Con, of course. Now, he is also half of the Comedy Film Nerds podcast, along with Graham Elwood. You can find him easily.
Is he the better half?
Well, you know, it depends on how you look
at
it.
He's nodding his head yes.
He's the more rational half, because Graham is like, bleh. He's like me. You know, Chris is more you, and Graham is more me. If Graham and I had a podcast, it would just be...
It's a mean thing to say about Graham.
It would just be noise. Oh, honest. Oh,
come on,
it would be the Todd Glass show.
That's exactly
right.
Wow. And we would add jingles. All right, you guys, you can find him easily at chrisjmancinionline.com. Wherever you are, people, please put your hands together for Chris Mancini.
Oh, thank you. Well, it is good to be here, guys. I'm very happy to be here. I love podcasting because it's either in a garage or in an apartment. And I love it that it's in an apartment because when you open the window, you can always tell which one of your neighbors is smoking. So it is good to be here. Well, I'm going to talk about my first job in Hollywood, and that was working for the American Gladiators. And it all started back in, early 1990s in Philadelphia. I had just finished college, and I was active with the Philadelphia Film Office and seeing what was being produced in Philadelphia. And American Gladiators was coming to town for a tryout. They were going to try out a bunch of people. And I didn't try out, but I did manage to get on the crew as like an unpaid intern. So I really wanted to go down and kind of, this was like my first taste of like a big Hollywood production coming into Philadelphia. For me anyway, it was the first thing. So I went there with a buddy of mine, and we set up cones. We watched people run and fall down, and we pretty much just helped the crew set up and took notes and, you know, helped the wrangle the customers. They were kind of customers. They looked hungry, but they came in and they would do all these ridiculous stunts, and then they would get like graded, and then I think maybe one or two made it to Hollywood. It was like American Idol, but for meatheads. So that's kind of how you can look at it. But at the end of the day, I was talking to the guys I was working for. They're like, "Hey, you guys did a great job." It was me and a buddy of mine, and they said, "You know, if you're ever out in LA, we'll give you a job." And I thought, oh, that's very cool. And I thought, I'm like, this is so cool. I'm going to get like my first job in Hollywood. And it never occurred to me later that they were so free with giving a job, because no sane person would ever want that job that they gave us. So we went out to L.A. and we were really, really excited. A buddy of mine and myself, we went out. We were really, really excited. We're like, this is cool. We're going to get to work for, you know, a big TV show, you know, American Gladiators. So we get there. And we find out they give us jobs as spotters. Spotters for American Gladiators. The worst job you could ever possibly have if you are under 6 feet, pretty much. When you have giant guys filled with steroids falling on you, that's a horrible job. That's a horrible job. So we started out, you know, they didn't give us uniforms, thank God. But we did have to wear like the American Gladiator shirt. But we were on the sidelines. We would move all of the equipment in and out of the arena. I guess you could call it an arena. And we would stand on the sides, and if a contender, they were called contenders, or a gladiator actually fell, and we had to catch him. It's when your job day starts with someone going, "You better put on a helmet." That's a horrible job. You should quit. You should not have that job ever. And then to make it worse, the grips and all the other guys on the show, we were the new guys, so they hazed us. Yeah. Now, I don't mind being hazed if you're the new guy, like if you're in an office or something, you know, you put a hole in the coffee mug or whatever, that's cool. But in the American Gladiators, they put us in physical danger. So that's not good. That's not good hazing. One time, they made us run this thing called the gauntlet to test it out until both of us threw up. So that was like the worst possible thing. I thought that was the worst possible thing. And then as we're pushing stuff into the arena, there's this thing called the pyramid. If anybody remembers the show, there was this giant two-story pyramid, and it took like 12 guys to push it in and out of the set. And I was pushing it wrong. I was on the inside of it, and it turned, and it part of the mechanism at the bottom rolled over my ankle. So I ended up at the hospital with one or two other gentlemen that it had actually rolled over. And so I finally get there. They're like, "There's a problem with the workman's comp." Like, you know, it's like a non-union show. They don't want to pay anything or anything. So I'm like, oh, my God, this is ridiculous. So I end up, I've got like, you know, I've got the sprained ankle. I've got crutches. And I come back, and now my job, because I can't walk, is to sit by the gladiators' dressing room and make sure kids don't come back and bother the gladiators. And then here's what really made me laugh. When I found that out, I'm like, okay, well, this is at least easier as I'm there. They were paying us $75 a day. And I thought, well, this wage, you know, I'm new to Hollywood, but this wage still doesn't sound that great. And then I find out the ushers that seat the audience into the crowd that are 16 years old, they were also getting $75 a day. And no one was falling on them. Yeah. So I think in a way it was like a great lesson. I think if everyone who comes to Hollywood gets the phrase, welcome to Hollywood, and then a punch in the face, nothing else will surprise them after that, because that's kind of what it was. It was, welcome to Hollywood, here's your punch in the face, good luck. I didn't go back the second season.
First of all, by the way, I'm sorry, I have to say, I pulled up a picture of the pyramid.
That's it.
Does this send chill up your spine?
Yeah, that's what ran over me.
The pyramid
yeah.
that you're showing us, Hannes, it sort of looks like something from, you know, one of the shows where they come down with the lights, boom, boom, boom. Like
yeah,
that.
It's very overly dramatic game show. That's exactly It's like it's all padded.
I can't believe you found that.
All I had to do was put in American Gladiators P, and pyramid was the first one on Google.
Wow. So, Chris, how long did you... Then just one season?
I did one season. Yeah,
and then American Gladiators went for like 10 years, though.
Oh, it went forever. And then it like became like a live show in Vegas. And it was a huge thing.
And then it came back in 2008, I believe.
Yeah,
it came back.
Yeah, yeah. They called me.
They offered said, no, 80 a day. They said, it's been 20 years. You can have 80.
They did not call you.
No, they
didn't. You're so crazy, man. Let me ask you this. I think, though, it got you out of Philadelphia.
It did. It did. And you know what? I made some good contacts over there. Not everyone there was an asshole.
Well, it's
so
always a process.
It was nice. It is.
You know, so you're from Philadelphia.
Uh-huh.
Because I'm from Pittsburgh, the Keystone State.
Oh, yeah.
And
what's in the middle of Pennsylvania?
Scranton.
West Virginia. yeah. There's the code.
There
I was
going to
say no teeth, but it's the same thing.
Yeah, pretty much.
That's so interesting, though, that you were able to at least come to L.A. with a job.
Yes.
I mean, I came out here with no job. Hannes, you had
no job. No, I had no job. But my question is, how long did it take you to become cynical about this job?
2 weeks. You heard him.
Okay, at the beginning, you're like,
oh, yeah, it
doesn't.
Great.
I'm in show business. Look at me. There are television cameras.
Yeah. So it took a two-story pyramid to roll over me when I realized.
Yeah, when
hey,
you realized
you
had no health insurance and no coverage.
Yeah.
Did they cover your ankle though?
So
they covered your ankle.
They did.
Was it a sprained ankle or whatever?
Yeah, and I remember there was a PA, like I had to get like painkillers, and I gave the PA the receipt, or that was the coordinator, and said, you know, you're going to reimburse me for these, and she like laughed and threw it away.
Yeah, they said, yeah, sure we will. Crumple. Yeah. And what year is this?
This was early 90s. I don't think
early
90s, exactly.
And then what was your
if
very
you come
next
in the late
job?
80s, you could have just got cocaine on the corner for like $5.
Yeah, it would have been much easier.
What was your next job?
I actually did what Hans did. I started doing the temp route. I started doing some temp jobs. But
a
then
lot of
I actually
do that.
The other thing I did was I went on the road as a comic. I started just hitting the road a little bit harder.
Well, you were fortunate to be able to do that, right?
So, mm-hmm.
And you're like a big improv guy, aren't you? I mean, the improv comedy club.
Yeah, I do a lot of improvs, absolutely.
And you hooked up with Bud Friedman or Mark Lana or who?
Bud Friedman. I do all the casino ones. And, you know, there was a time where he had a lot of casinos. Now there's only about two. And
do you enjoy that now? Do you enjoy that now, Chris, doing those sorts of road gigs, as it were?
No, I don't.
Nobody has ever said yes, I do. And why is that?
Well, what it is
repetitive.
I'll tell you, it is when you're in your 20s and single, the road is awesome. Mm-hmm. It's amazing. But, you know, I'm married, I have kids, and, you know, I don't want to be on the road anymore. So I do maybe 3-4 weeks a year total now. But they're always like bigger.
Yeah, it used to be back in the day, but, you know, you get in your covered wagon and you go. No, but there was always like, you know, you'd always have to learn the hierarchy of like, okay, who is the waitress who would always sleep with the headliner, and who is the waitress who would always sleep with the
middle?
Well, they would
with
wear
the middle,
signs,
and then
so
the busboy who would sleep with the opener.
Yeah, yeah.
Every single time.
All right.
But
so
it was, I mean, the road's rough. I mean, it really is. It's not a great lifestyle. But at some point, every comedian who comes to L.A., they want to move on anyway. They want to either get their own show or a writing job.
Yeah,
and that's
exactly.
really what I came out
But going on the road enables people to make a living.
It does.
Now, but it takes you out of L.A.
But it takes you out of L.A.
Which means that you suddenly do not exist anymore.
Catch 22.
Yeah.
Right.
Indeed.
Now, I, of course, I was a comedian, but I wasn't funny at all. Mm-hmm. But I will say I was on the road
You're
as
dramatist.
A dramatist. Exactly. I was a flight attendant, though, for 7 years. And that was like being on the road. I mean, I was in 12 nights a month. I was in a different bed. 12 beds
yeah,
a month.
Yeah, it's like sports. It's like being in basketball and football.
Before.
It's like,
well,
yeah, you're just always...
Road travel is road travel, whether you're a... you know, a flight attendant, a musician,
doing, right.
a comedian, it doesn't matter. You know, you're in living in yeah. hotels and it's great when you're young, but ultimately when, you know, you want to actually have some stability and move
it's
on.
It's kind of miserable. And I remember so many hotels that I would check into and I would have to take the bedspread and lay it completely on the floor on the way to the bathroom so that I didn't have to step on
oh
that
my
disgusting
God.
Carpet.
I was in Indianapolis. And,
They
put me in this condo. You know, that's when you really get...
Yeah, the comedy
get,
condo.
Yeah, you know, that's when you go, oh my God,
yeah.
what is
yeah,
this
what, you, what people don't realize is since... They just own a place because it's cheaper than putting up an hotel.
Right.
That means there's no maids.
Right.
Therefore, it is never
the hotel
clean.
Was fine. I mean, but then they put me in this condo, and then there were roaches in the condo, and that's when I just went, you know what? I'm mistemping.
Yeah. Oh, wow.
I'm going,
yeah.
I'm going
Those
back
are big
to
words.
I'm mistemping.
Yeah. Okay, Chris, we don't have a lot of time, and there's a lot I want to cover. Let me
sure.
ask you this. You seem to know a lot about podcasting. You seem to be kind of one. You're almost an entrepreneur. What's the word, Hannes?
Entrepreneur.
Type. Mm-hmm. He's almost like a Chris Hardwick, Kevin Smith.
Kevin Smith is almost a Chris Mancini.
Yeah, no,
that's
but
the way
he's
I
done,
put it.
You've done a lot of things and you keep moving forward. Dean Haglin, Dave Attell. These are the guys that come to mind. So you start this website called comedyfilmnerds.com
yes.
with Graham Elwood. Graham mm-hmm. Elwood, very famous comedian. Mm-hmm. He's a big personality.
Oh, huge. And that's
why
I've known Graham for many years.
He's
and
so good.
We just kind of had lunch one day and we were like, okay, well, we've both made movies. We've done a lot of film festivals. We both do stand up. Why don't we kind of combine everything we know and put it into like a brand? So it started out as a website, then it went to a podcast.
Right.
And we, you know, we're a little more than just kind of talking, you know, making jokes about movies.
You guys,
we do
have
a little bit of
so
everything.
Much going on. You have.
We even help independent filmmakers.
That's what I was going to say. Mm-hmm. You sell a lot of products. You have this shop and you mm-hmm. have different departments and you buy things from different artists and also big companies.
Yes.
You buy things from them and then you sell them on your own site.
Right.
What's the kit in hand stuff? Tell me that.
That was episode 20. If you really want to go back to our archives.
Let's go back. Let's do
that. Neil T. Weekly was the guest. He's one of our writers for the site.
Is this when the smoke monster first appeared? Oh, wait. That's a different episode 20. Sorry. Okay.
It's very similar. And it was... became this weird meme that we were talking about weird kitten hands and how they were just like soft and furry yet oddly off-putting and what it would be like to be touched with kitten hands. And then it got weirder and weirder from there. And then it started permeating into different episodes. And then fans would start sending us like little kitten gloves.
Yeah, so you have merchandise around the kitten hands.
We're working on it right now. We're actually going to make kitten hands with the logo on.
Well,
I'm
all for that. Let me ask you this, Chris, because you do have a lot of experience with podcasts. Why are there so many podcasts with the word nerd in them? And I'm going to run them by you right now. Here we go.
Yep.
There's The Nerdist, The Nerd's Eye View, Nerd Melt, The Best Damn Nerd Show, Academic Nerds, Chronicle of the Nerds, Geeks versus Nerds, which is an oxymoron, The Comedy Nerds, Dork Forest. So why? So do we need to change our name to Storyworthy Nerds?
Nerdworthy? No,
should we be Storyworthy Nerds?
Story Nerds.
Story Nerds.
It's like the new N-word. You remember when the black rappers started to take back their N-word to like take away the power of having that yelled at you? Well,
so
that's
now
what we
the
nerds
N-word
did.
Is nerds?
Yeah, it's like it used to be an insult, and now it's like, we're rich. Fuck you.
Yeah. So
my glasses
are
broken.
What it is generally people who listen to podcasts are technologically a little more savvy than the rest of the population, and they tend to be nerdier and geekier. So it's catering kind of to the audience.
But I don't think that's necessarily true. I mean, there are podcasts for every genre possible. I guess you're talking about from the beginning of podcasts.
Correct.
Because now, I mean, if you listen to This American Life, in my opinion, you're just an American. You know what
right.
I mean? Like, that's
right.
just like...
Everything's going a lot more mainstream. That's where podcast is, of course, headed. But that's kind of where the germination
started. Do you have to be like a geeky person to enjoy it? That's not true.
No, no. What I'm saying is that a lot of these podcasts, they have very specific niches. Like
yeah, by nerd, he just means somebody
what nerd
can do
means is somewhat like when we say comedy film nerds, that means we know and love things about movies. But
right, there's
have,
such a thing as drama nerds. There's
right,
such
drama
a thing
nerds,
as
sports.
You know what?
This,
you know
this
what?
Term never came up before. Sports nerds.
Yeah, yeah. Or gun nerds, because there are gun nerds. There are people who know everything in the world about guns,
right?
And think that it's really important that I know. You know
the word,
how many
the word
shots.
Took on a different connotation.
Nerd took on a different connotation. I believe that. Don't you think now in podcasting there's too many shows, in my opinion, that are
yes.
long form
oh,
interviews. It's like long form interview, long form interview. It's like, how many times can I ask somebody the same questions? And so when I research guests, I listen to all the shows you've been on. I listen to whoever I'm going to have on the show. I listen to their past shows and I hear them repeating answers and you can just hear that they're bored out of their minds. Like, why is everything that long form improv or long form interview?
Well,
I'm sorry, we don't have time for your answer. We've got to go. No, go ahead.
I think that's because that's one of the easiest things to set up with podcasting is the interview style format.
Just to say to somebody, where'd you grow up? What'd you do? What did you do?
It's the easiest way to fill an hour. It really is.
I guess
it really is, because when you set up two people talking, that's fine. You know, but if you set up two people talking or one person talking and plus a guest, then you're going to generally have to interview that guest. So
yeah.
So that's kind of, but that's okay. I mean, I actually don't mind. I don't care how many shows there are. I mean, the quality ones, even if they have the same format, will rise to the top and I'll enjoy listening
to them. I say that all the time, Hannes. The cream rises to the top.
That's right. And then I say the cream is spoiled. We're all going to be dead in 50 years. I'm
sorry,
is that too much?
Okay. One more thing.
That's plenty of time.
You have three books right now, Chris,
yes.
And I'm very impressed. Pacify Me, A Handbook for the Freaked Out New Dad. Published by Simon & Schuster. Good for you.
Thank you.
Congratulations. Really, that's a huge deal. And then the Comedy Film Nerds, of course, their guide to movies.
Yes, that
with,
one was
with Graham
really,
Elwood.
That one was really hard and really rewarding to put together. That took about a year and a half.
And you guys broke it up. So you did like the science fiction, the action adventure.
I did
film
family
movies.
Movies. Yeah, and film school classics.
Film mm-hmm. school classics. You know, Hannes Finney here, my co-host, he's a huge fan of the old school movies.
Oh, cool.
I am frightened. I am frightened.
Well, no, yeah. Christine cannot watch a movie in black and white.
No.
Because everyone in it is already
dead. That's exactly right. I also have a fear of antiques, but that's, you know, here and there.
And I clowns. And if I say, well this movie is...
We'll watch The Man Who Wasn't There.
You think we could do that together?
No, The Man Who Wasn't There, because the Coen brothers made that a couple years ago, and
yeah,
James
exactly.
Gandolfini is still alive.
And Billy Bob Thornton. She can't take the black and white.
The black and white is tough for me. I will say this. There's a lot of overrated films that, Hannes, you've made me watch, like It's a Wonderful Life, Birth of a Nation, these sorts of films. I didn't make you watch
Birth of a Nation,
you
one of my Klansmen.
You told me to watch it.
Did
you read my chapter?
Watch Birth of a Nation. No.
Because I put those are the two... Some of the two most overrated.
Overrated. I feel like
classics.
That as well.
Yeah.
I think It's a Wonderful Life is damn good, but
you made me watch Citizen
Kane.
But
there are better Frank Capra movies.
I agree.
Coppola.
Yeah. Mr. Smith Goes to Washington is a
and
far better
And Mr. Deeds
movie.
Goes to Town. Yes. It's awesome.
Falcon.
Nobody sees it. Maltese Falcon.
Noir.
Is
you
awesome.
Love those. Noirs.
Yeah, I love that shit.
And those ones with what's her
Catherine Heigl.
Yes.
Who was the guy from My Three Sons? What was
his
name?
Double Indemnity. I made
yeah,
you watch.
Double Indemnity.
Double Indemnity.
You love that.
Fred McMurray.
Yeah, he made me watch that
fucking
too.
Movie.
And then he made me watch Citizen Kane. Okay, so
yeah,
I was.
I'm such a horrible person. Erland, like you know, he made me watch snuff films. I made you watch Double Indemnity.
There was a ceiling on the, and I understand.
It's not like he made me watch Cannonball Run. You know.
That time, when I had to watch Citizen Kane, I didn't know because I don't know a lot about film history that they had sets where they made ceilings. In other words, the ceiling was a part of the set. Which is so
right because
to
they
me.
Would well
but
yeah
I
he would dig
know.
A hole in the floor and put the camera down
I just, but
deliberately
I didn't know.
To do that
it was all new
the
to me
the original
so.
Tracking shot was like for the time was unprecedented
right and
it,
well,
it was
yeah,
so interesting
coming into the
if I look at it that way I'm better off but I look at it like those are dead people.
Yeah, even the people shooting this right now.
That's
dead.
What I'm saying.
Yeah.
That's exactly what I'm saying.
So can
the
you
camera
watch...
that shot this is not working anymore.
Ladies
yeah, can
and gentlemen,
you watch Dark Knight Rises because Heath Ledger is dead?
Oh,
it's like
he's
you can't
so
watch
hot.
It.
That's a whole
oh, wait,
different
that was
situation.
A different
thing. That's a different thing. Heath Ledger.
Hot. Okay, wait. They
so
were
hot dead is okay.
Hot dead is...
Yeah, black and white dead, forget it.
Well, James Dean is okay. You see, so
but
it's
Buster Keaton.
No, no good, right. No good. Charlie Chaplin, I get the heebie-jeebies. Listen, Chris,
would you like to be
a
three-way with
Chaplin
and Keaton?
I want you to play Shotgun Storyworthy. That's what I'm really excited about.
Okay.
But before we do that, because you know all about films and you've seen thousands, what are your best picks? We're going to throw it out for 2012. I have three of my favorites. What are your three favorites? Anything in mind?
Wow. I saw a lot of movies. I would say, you know what? The Avengers really stood out for me.
No kidding.
And yeah, it really did just because of what it was. It was this big, huge popcorn movie that was really fascinating because it was like a comic book come to life.
Yeah, because it was like a comic book movie that people who don't give a living shit about comic books could actually watch and enjoy.
And okay. It felt like a comic book, okay. Whereas Dark Knight is more of like a dark, broody, kind of like a noir with superheroes that don't have any superpowers, whereas The Avengers really felt like these are just comic books come to life.
Okay, what about Argo, of course?
Argo was a fantastic movie. Loved
I love
Argo.
That movie.
Yeah.
Is it too hyped up?
Well, that's the problem with movies like Argo is when you first see them and then, you know, your friends go, oh, you have to see this movie. It's so good. Then what happens is your expectations go too high. So,
but it was so good.
Like, it was so good, but like, do your friends a service and say, yeah, it was pretty good. Go see it.
Yeah, I know what you're saying.
Yeah, as opposed to
lower
it
down, lower the expectations.
Yeah, you start to get these quotes in the ads where it's like, this is the defining movie of the 21st century.
And then it's like, no, it isn't.
Okay, how about Moonrise Kingdom? I love that.
Moonrise Kingdom I have not seen yet. I heard it's great.
Wes Anderson, it is such a beautiful movie. And every
I haven't seen
picture,
that either. I think it's because we have penises.
And it's like Francis McDormand. No, and Bruce Willis. I mean, the cast is amazing. And it's like every picture is just freaking beautiful.
I know,
it's
but that just
film.
Makes me not want to see it. Even though I probably will like it. It's like, no. What I'm saying is, no, this is specific. This is not just like, oh, I don't want it. It's girly. It's like, it's so... The word I think I'm looking for, it seems precious.
No, it's
okay.
not. I
okay,
hate
it may
cute.
Not be
you know
like
I
that.
Hate cute.
Right, but maybe they advertised it wrong, and this always drives me crazy, when I finally see a movie that the advertising make look like I would hate it, and then I see it and I go, "What? Why didn't they advertise what this movie actually was? I loved it.
Oh, because
whereas
the
maybe
trailer
I would like Moonrise Kingdom, but the commercials made me go.
Yeah, because the trailer editors half the time have nothing to not understand the movie or
yeah,
asleep.
Yeah,
the movie's
saw
not
it.
Done
or
yet.
Or the marketing departments.
Seen
it. Like, you know, the other one was John Carter, Warlord of Mars.
Oh,
and
I didn't see that.
You saw that trailer and like, there's no way I'm going to see this stupid movie that has nothing but computer generated image in it they're constantly being thrown in my face. And then when you actually watch the movie, you see, oh, there's a little bit more here, and they actually try to do a cool story, and there's some cool science fiction stuff in here.
Yeah.
The CG's not as bad as it thought. And then I'm like, oh, but the marketing department killed it.
Okay, what about Lincoln? Now, we haven't seen it yet, but that's going
to
be killer.
Oh, my God. When I saw the commercial for Lincoln, I just went, oh, my God, my money just came to life.
It's going
to
happen, right? Like
when you see that, like the makeup on Lincoln is like, that's exactly what my money
well, it's
looks
like even in Argo. I learned more in the first 6 minutes of Argo than I learned in 12 years of school. You know what I mean? Like, I feel like Lincoln.
You did go to school in Pittsburgh, however.
Well,
we should point that.
All through school and then
right.
college.
Lincoln gets shot. Just... Spoiler alert.
Yeah, I heard that. I've heard that. But I do think it's going to be a good knowledge for me. I like to
no,
learn
it should
by
be. And
stories.
I think it's
that's
very
how I learn.
Specific. And I like that they got Lincoln is famous for having what apparently was a very high voice. People think that he looks like a man who would talk like Morgan Freeman, but he didn't. He talked like Daniel Day-Lewis. Sounds in that movie. He's from the Midwest and he's very nasal. And it's like, I was like, okay, I like that.
Interesting.
I like that they got that right because he's very, it's very famous that, you know, obviously we have no recordings, but it's like, he didn't sound like he looks. He sounds like me.
Jesus
you know?
Christ.
I know,
that's
it's the
fucking
worst.
Terrifying.
And yes. Cloud Atlas was also a good movie.
Was it really?
Yeah,
because
I
thought
Atlas.
That might go cheese factor all the way.
No, it didn't. It was
good.
It was good.
Good to hear.
Yeah, it was good. It was a good watch. It was. It was one of those movies. Dean Haglund and Graham and I talked about it at length in the last podcast because Dean, he went to a press screening and he got to interview Tom Hanks and Halle Berry.
Yeah, I saw that on the site. Yeah.
That came out great. He brought up Mazes and Monsters from the 80s with Tom
Hanks.
Wow,
that's funny.
But the movie was the kind of movie where on multiple viewings you can get a lot out of it. It was like a lot. It was a densely packed movie, but not as inaccessible as Tree of Life. So there was a little more accessibility to it.
Well, I saw the trailer. I thought the trailer looked good, but then I thought overall it might be cheesy.
Definitely not cheesy. It's definitely, though, it requires your attention. Like, you really have to kind of focus and concentrate on it as you're watching. But it will reward you.
It was the Wachowski, I almost mispronounced their name.
Wachowski.
Well, used to be Wachowski used to be brothers, now brother siblings. And sister. Mm-hmm. And Tom, is it Tweaker?
Tom Tweaker,
who is a German. Who did Run Lola Run. Did you Run Lola Run?
I did. And
I love that
you could
movie.
See like the stuff that I'm like, oh, he directed that. He directed that.
Yeah, so he directed half of Flawed
Animals. Well, you start having an eye for these things, don't you, Chris? I mean, it's after a period of time. It's a process. It's a length of time. It's a period of time, and you start realizing and seeing familiar things.
Absolutely. Yeah, you start to see the patterns.
Hey, you want to play Shotgun Storyworthy?
Sure.
Music can only mean one thing. It's time for Shotgun Storyworthy,
the game show where contestants spin the Storyworthy wheel of truth and tell a true 1 minute story on the topic they land.
So everyone, say it with me.
Spin that wheel.
All right, I'll do vacation. Vacation's a very interesting thing, especially with when you're a comic, because sometimes you're like, well, should I pay for a vacation for the family, or should I just bring them somewhere? So we actually had one of the best vacations my family and I have ever had, because we went to Lake Tahoe for the week. So it actually worked out. We went to Lake Tahoe, I performed, and my family came, and my kids had never been there. And what was amazing is that they'd never seen mountains like that, and they had never gone swimming in a freezing lake, so they found that very entertaining. Then we took them up to one of the mountains on those cable cars that go all the way up, and then we took a picture of them, and it says elevation 12,000 feet or whatever, and then we thought this would be a great Christmas card. So we took a picture of our kids at 12,000 feet on one of the mountains. And I think the caption of the Christmas card will be, and they still found their way back.
Oh, yeah. That's a great story. But that makes sense, though. When you are a performer, why not bring your family along when you get these great hotels?
Yeah,
and you get a
the
per
perks.
Diem,
yep.
Mm-hmm. And that's part of
and
it.
And you have a
it?
Built-in excuse to get away from them, which is really, you're like, listen, I would love to continue this conversation about why you can't jump up and down on the hotel beds,
yeah,
but I've got to go to
work.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, listen, before we wrap this up, you did grow up in Philly. I heard you spent some time as a child in Wildwood, New Jersey.
Yes.
I spent all my summers in Ocean City, New Jersey.
Mm-hmm. Similar, where my wife is from.
No kidding.
Yeah,
a dry town.
Ocean City.
Nothing there. I mean, not a lot.
A pier and a couple of breakfast places.
That's right. The music pier. I used to work at Core Brothers. Custard. It was called Custard. It was really just...
Was it Mob Run?
No. No, it wasn't Mob
Run.
You know, the mob controls the custard.
I wouldn't be surprised if
then
the
why are
was,
there no other custard companies in Ocean City?
It's only Core Brothers, because I know Danny Core. He was my boss. He was sort of hot, actually, at the time. I lived off ice cream, man. I was 17 years old. I had just graduated high school. I go down to Ocean City. I got no money. I'm living in an attic with a maid for $27 a week.
Wow, you could afford a maid for, well, on $27
a maid? She lived there, too. We were both together in this it was like a boarding house, and she was the maid of the boarding house, and I lived in this attic with her. And so would you just go to Wildwood because you were in Philly, and then you just go for like, oh, crazy weekend like that?
No, I actually went when I was a kid. My family would take me there because my
for how long?
My aunts and uncles, they had a house there. And it would be like a couple days here and there. Then on my mom's side, they had like a house in like Cape May. So I was always going down there.
Yeah.
And my favorite part was, of course, the arcades.
Right. And so now this Hurricane Sandy comes through, mm-hmm. and it's really changed things, I think.
Yeah, it's cleaned up all the bullshit. Yeah. No,
it's the thing where
no, but it really,
yeah,
it really
Jersey Shore
occurred to me,
did
like,
$15
Jersey Shore.
Damage.
It's like, oh no, they canceled Jersey Shore. But no, it's horrible actually. And we said on our website and on the podcast, make sure you donate to the Red Cross, because there's a lot of people that still don't have power
it's
and need
amazing.
Stuff. And because my wife, like I said, is from Ocean City, and her mom's house got some water damage, and they're all still cleaning up over that. It's not good over there. It really isn't. And the good thing is that at least, you know, the death toll was low, and there was actually some response to it.
Right, there was. And so you're from Philadelphia, and you don't have that Pennsylvania accent at all that I can hear.
That's not what people tell me.
Oh, really? Did they tell you
about
that?
Yeah, we've actually had fans emails like, yeah, we can tell Chris is from Philadelphia by the way he says water.
Yeah, witter. Yeah. Are you saying tasty cakes?
Tasty cakes and water, and then
Philly cheesesteak.
Philly cheesesteak.
And let me ask you one more thing. If you had any advice to the new podcasters, because you know a lot of people podcasting,
yes.
You know people trying to podcast. What are your top three suggestions besides like sound good?
Besides sound good? Okay.
Because sound good is like such a given. Like if you're doing a podcast.
It isn't actually. People don't realize that. That's
why we have Jorge Reyes, the sound engineer to the stars, because he actually makes it sound like an actual show, whereas people are like, welcome to a podcast. And like, where did you record this?
Oh, yeah. And that's one of the things we learned, too. Our initial episode sounded terrible. We had one good microphone, and we just huddled around it, and that was a mistake.
You're like the Beatles singing into the same
microphone. So that's, people think that it's just going to sound good just by, using your mic on your laptop. It's not. You have to invest, and it's not that much money, on a soundboard and, to set it up and make it sound good. Number two is don't expect... just because you're doing a podcast, to people to just show up and listen.
Right. Nobody cares.
Nobody cares. And so what you have to do is you have to market and promote. You have to let people know, and you have to be compelling. And ultimately, you have to hang your hat on something.
And you have to be consistent.
You can't just...
hang your hat on something. What do you mean?
Hang your hat on something. It means that ultimately, your podcast has to be about something. Like you guys, you do stories. We do films. And it's the very rare podcasts like Mark Maron and Jimmy Pardo... Because they're such strong personalities, can kind of get away with just doing whatever they want on a regular basis. But most of the time, have a topic, have a subject, make it compelling. And a producer once gave me some pretty good advice. He said to me, find a half an inch of earth and then dig for a mile. So pick that one niche that you're really good at and just keep digging.
Honest, could you? What's our niche, man?
We'd like to go deep, deep, deep.
Digging ditches.
We dig. I want to do a story. It's all stories about digging ditches. That's it. No other celebrities, no actors, ditch diggers.
Hey, listen, man. We're really happy that you came by, Chris. Really. We're impressed and really grateful that you stopped by.
Oh,
because
thank you.
You do have a huge birth of knowledge, and we're really happy that you shared it with us.
Well, it was great to be here, and I'm glad you guys helped out with the LA Podcast Festival. Yeah, we appreciate that.
That was Christine. I was at home taking a nap.
Yeah, the Podcast Festival this year was really good. It was the very first one here in Los Angeles.
Yeah, so it'll be even bigger next year.
The LA Pod Fest. Right? Mm-hmm. Pod Fest.
Yes, LAPodFest.com.
Remarkably well.
Thank you.
I mean, I would say it was 95% on. Like, very few things didn't jive. I was really impressed.
We spent a lot of time and energy into making it that way.
I'm really glad. That's great. Well, hopefully Storyworthy will take part next year.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
All right, you guys, we're going to wrap this up. On behalf of, first of all, I want to give thanks to John Thomas Griffith because, he wrote
our theme. Never heard of him.
He wrote our theme song, Follow Me. So we got to say thank you to him.
Right.
But I'd also like to thank Joe Slepsky. He helps us out. He's a producer. He's sick tonight, but that's okay.
He's not feeling well.
We're going to let him be out of it.
He drank too much when the Bears won.
Fair enough.
I'm going to let you decide what game that was.
That's fine.
And he just drank too much bad old style beer.
We love him anyway.
Yes.
All right, and on behalf of Jorge Reyes, he's our sound engineer, and of course our storyteller tonight, Chris Mancini. You can find him at chrisjmancinionline.com. It's a little confusing.
No, it's not.
Chris J. Mancini.
Everything else was
taken. Online.com.
Yeah, yes. I couldn't get everyone else had my name.
I didn't know there was somebody else named Chris Mancini.
And then Chris J. Mancini, and then
right,
I couldn't get any of the other
You should have
names.
Been like Chris Mancini number one.
I could have done the Chris.
Complicated.
That is very it's a little much for me sometimes when somebody's like, I'm the Bob Smith. I have no idea who you are. So I say the
on behalf of
A Hannes Finney. See? I should be the Hannes Finney
That's
because
right.
Who the fuck else could possibly if you look up in white pages on the internet, I am the only person named Hannes Finney in the entire country.
And on behalf of the only Hannes Finney in the entire country, my name is Christine Blackburn saying make it a story worthy week.
Thanks for joining us on the Storyworthy Podcast. We'll be back next week with all new stories. Subscribe to Storyworthy on iTunes and visit the Storyworthy website at storyworthypodcast.com.
you like listening to comedy, try watching it on the internet. The folks behind the Sideshow Network have launched a new YouTube channel called Wait For It. It's got interviews with comedians like Reggie Watts, Todd Glass, Liza Schlesinger. I've been friends with her for 10 years. One of the funniest people out there, and I still have a hard time with the last name, Liza. Our very own Owen Benjamin, that's me, takes you on a musical journey down internet rabbit holes and much more. You don't have to wait any longer. Just go to youtube.com/waitforitcomedy. There's no need to wait for it anymore because it's here and it's funny. And I love you.